Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are so delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. We certainly would love to hear from you, so send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And remember that you can always listen to our show as a podcast. Just go out to EWTN's Podcast Central, EWTN.com/radio/podcast, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Today's show will cover some sensitive topics that might not be suitable for children, so viewer discretion is advised. And today we are welcoming to our show Dr. Anna Norden. Now, Dr. Norden has been a practicing naturopathic physician and a psychotherapist for 38 years. And she specializes in addiction and grief counseling. She completed her undergraduate training at McGill University and her graduate studies at the University of Toronto and Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine. She is specialized in Jungian psychology in her postgraduate studies at Pacifica Institute in Santa Barbara, California, and the C.G. Jung Institute in Los Angeles. She's a former staff physician at Project Defending Life in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And today she's here to speak with us about the real pain of post-abortion syndrome and working as a pro-life doctor to heal those from this syndrome. And so we're excited to have Dr. Anna with us today. Amen. And know that there is always hope and healing. No matter what you've suffered in your life, it's never the end of the story. God always wants to heal, restore, repair, renew, and redeem anything and everything that you and I have participated in.
Joy, we want to start our show off today with a quote from St. Pope John Paul II in his document, encyclical Evangelium Vitae, the Gospel of Life. He says these words, "I would now like to say a special word to women who have had an abortion. The church is aware of the many factors which may have influenced your decision. She does not doubt that in many cases it was a painful and even shattering decision. The wound in your heart may not have yet healed. Certainly what happened was and remains terribly wrong, but do not give in to discouragement and do not lose hope. Try rather to understand what happened and face it honestly. If you've not already done so, give yourselves over with humility and trust to repentance. The Father of Mercies is ready to give you his forgiveness and his peace in the sacrament of reconciliation. To the same Father and to his mercy, you can with sure hope entrust your child. With the friendly expert help and advice of other people, and as a result of your own painful experience, you can be among the most eloquent defenders of everyone's right to life through your commitment to life, whether by accepting the birth of other children or by welcoming and caring for those most in need of someone to be close to them. You will become promoters of a new way of looking at human life." So he selected that portion. I think it's a great text, and it really typifies the love of the church, the hope of the church, facing very difficult realities, but beseeching you, don't fall into despair. Don't be hopeless. Face it honestly and receive the mercy, grace, and forgiveness of God. And not only can you be forgiven, but you can become one of the most eloquent spokespersons on behalf of the gospel of life. I pray that many of you today would be touched, that you would receive this word today. Pray for those considering abortion, if you could hear our voices. There'll be an option line will come up, a place where you can call and get help right now. Those getting in touch with the fact that you had an abortion last year, 5 years, 10 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years ago, God wants to set you free. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, our guest today is Dr. Anna Norden. She is a naturopathic physician and a psychotherapist. You can go out to a website. The website is afterabortion.org. Well, Dr. Anna Norden, we are excited to have you with us today. And we want you first to tell our family a little bit about yourself, and then we're going to get into this wonderful post-abortion syndrome healing. Well,
thank you, Joy, and thank you so much for the opportunity to come here and really reach out to the hearts of those women who are still suffering or not even aware of their suffering yet at this point. I grew up in a lovely little city in Ontario, Canada, and it was a rather abusive household. So parents with some issues, borderline personality disorder, they were kind of abusive and things like that. And I grew up Lutheran. I didn't know anything about the Catholic faith, except when I went to public school, there was a Catholic school across the field, and I was something different about those children. I knew nothing, just that I liked them, and they had something different that they didn't have in my school. And one day I just walked into their school and I saw a picture, a statue of a beautiful woman. It was Saint Teresa. I'm just like, who is that? And so ever since then, I've really had an affinity to join the Catholic faith. Well, I did eventually marry a Catholic, and when I was 11, even my mother would drive me to the local Catholic basilica, and I would just go in and talk to the lady. She was very generous of her being a Lutheran, and so it's just, it's very special religion, and that's what brings me to be able to help people across the board, whether they're Catholic or Christian or a Buddhist or agnostic, atheist, because of my experience. And I had an abortion when I was 16, and I was coerced into it by my parents, but it was my choice. And when I didn't know about anything about Catholicism or God or anything, and I just knew it was wrong immediately that day, that night when I got out of the anesthesia. And so it goes beyond religious bounds. It's just, there's a moral, morally wrong. And if you're in touch with your heart, you'll realize that, and you don't need the religion to tell you that. Although the religion is accurate, it's true. It speaks the truth. So that was my original story. And then in my case, realizing it was such a horrible thing to do, I felt so bad. I intentionally got pregnant with the same person, and so I had the experience of not only just having an abortion, but also being an unwed mother at a young age. I went to a Catholic maternity home in Toronto, and the differences between night and day. When it's the same situation, I'm scared. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I have this big responsibility, but it was nothing like the devastation and dark hole, black hole, pit of despair I felt after the abortion. Nothing comes close to that.
Yes.
So then in that second unplanned pregnancy, did you place that baby up for adoption?
No, I kept, my son.
Yes. And it is so different, but you had a place where you could go to be nurtured during that time of fear. Right? And despair, it's kind of like all of the unknowns, like what's going to happen to me? How is this going to go? But you were in a community where you were going to be supported on that journey.
Exactly. And then I had been rejected by my parents at that point because I decided to take this pregnancy to term. So yeah, great support system there. So
how did you, I mean, you're a psychotherapist and have all these expertise, but you weren't that then. When you were 16, you went into this community of believers, of Catholics. Right. So what was your process of healing in that? Was most of the healing through community, learning the faith, acceptance without denial of, you know, what had taken place? What was it that brought you to healing?
Well, I was in denial for quite a while. I mean, I had the initial shock that it was the totally wrong thing for me to have done, but then the pregnancy kind of relieved that guilt a little bit. So it was kind of on ice for a while. And then certain things triggered me or hit me, like seeing children playing, and like, oh, I wonder what my childhood, I called her Mary, would have been doing if I hadn't had the abortion performed. Mm-hmm. And so gradually it just kind of bubbled up to the surface. By I had enough triggers to start thinking about, I'm sad about this. Mm-hmm. I'm very sad about this. So I went for counseling, and we uncovered a lot of guilt, shame, grief, you know, the abandonment by my parents, and feelings of rejection. And so that phase was, then I kind of moved on from that. And then several years later, another trigger. So I went a little deeper and did some more healing. And then at some point I decided, you know, I've done a lot of healing. I think the next 20% of my healing will be helping other ladies and women with their pregnancies. And so that's what I've been doing since that time for the past 20 years.
Do you think that's what drove you into your field?
Yes.
Do you think, so that was what God had used to just say, okay, you can be a healer, right? And it's what the Pope's encyclical said, you know, that post-abortive men and women, once we repent and realize what we've done, we have the opportunity then to be some of the most eloquent spokespeople on behalf of life. And that's what you did.
It was no coincidence. Mm-hmm. No coincidence.
Yeah. And we all, you know, hurt people, and healed people heal people, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how that goes. And so you were like, I have been healed. I mean, we're all on a journey till we see Jesus face to face, right? And that's the beauty of the journey and deepening our faith and our love and our walk with the Lord. But then, you know, he said, Anna, I want to use you, you know, because what the devil wants to do is torment us and tell us we're no good and there's nothing good that can come from us, and what kind of person are we, and then shut us down. But God does just the opposite, right? He knows the worst about all of us. And he says, this isn't the end of your story. I have something beautiful I could do in your life.
No, that's exactly true. Mm-hmm. And because I crashed my car into a meridian, and they thought it should have been deceased, but nothing happened. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of a turning point for me. Wait a minute, I didn't die. What is there to do in my life now that I was spared? Mm-hmm. God saved me from that crash. 75 miles an hour into a meridian is pretty fast.
That is very fast.
With no injuries. Okay, I'm going to go into psychotherapy and really just reach out to other women who are hurting. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I did, and that's what I'm currently doing.
So you went into psychotherapy, which I would think, especially with some of the issues you were dealing with, not all the issues, you know, in terms of not having the best raising or loving situation, but in terms of the abortion reality, you know, I don't think a lot of people are addressing this. You must have had a pretty good psychotherapist that thought this was even an issue.
She's the best. Mm-hmm. She's been a counselor for 30 years now, on and off. Mm-hmm. And I
didn't know what it was at first. Why am I so, I'm traumatized. And I had this horrendous childhood, so, okay, maybe it was that. Mm-hmm. But actually it was, the abortion was a lot more of the trauma than I thought.
Yeah.
I originally thought I was just dealing with abuse from my parent. But then that came up, and there was a lot of, I knew it just felt right. I was crying and very remorseful and had a lot of shame. And I knew that she'd hit the mark for me.
And sometimes in therapy and in counseling, the counselor, be it male or female, isn't even asking the client if they've had a pregnancy loss, if they've had a miscarriage or an abortion. It's kind of like not even relative to your pain and sorrow.
Yes.
But the beautiful thing is when we have a skilled person who knows how to ask that question, then they can go in with a laser beam and say, okay, now let's talk about the pain of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of counselors have had abortions themselves, mm-hmm. and they don't think there was anything wrong with it. So it would be difficult for them to even to think of addressing mm-hmm. that. So I set us apart a little bit in that sense that I will go ask. And we go through all the traumas that people have had, and family, friends, and then I ask, oh, if you had any losses, you know, abortions. So, oh, and I see sadness all of mm-hmm. a sudden in their eyes, or pain in their voice, mm-hmm. and they say yes, but they're still not aware that that's mm-hmm. what it is.
Yeah.
So we gently go there, and it's kind of an discovery process for mm-hmm. them, because they weren't. And it's interesting, too, that the majority of my clients, women, come to me with abortion pain and grief, mm-hmm. but they didn't know why they came to me in particular. They thought it would be another issue. Mm-hmm. So I thought that's very interesting mm-hmm. that we can uncover that.
Well, unfortunately, one of the reasons for that is the amount of abortions that have taken place. Like in the United States of America, approximately 68 million abortions, mm-hmm. and Canada is well in terms of what their beliefs or lack of belief in what they're promoting in the defense of the indefensible is like incredible. So and you know, I think as we speak about abortion and the choice for abortion, or maybe sometimes it's not even much of a choice, is they're so coerced, you know, I mean, just the responsibility of the governments of our land. You know, it's not just this woman, you know, coming in and saying, well, and what woman does really want an abortion anyway, but so they have to own that responsibility and forgiveness they have to seek. But it's legal. This is just acceptable. And that's a huge contributor. We have so many girls, because mm-hmm. we run a pregnancy medical center, mm-hmm. that have come in and said, you know, if this wasn't legal, I wouldn't, you know, I probably wouldn't do this, you know. But it was something like, well, it goes beyond legal enough, but you know, they're not there. And it's like, this is like acceptable. And you have the right. And people who are trying to say something to you, you know, they're coercing you in another way.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to understand it's bigger than just this individual, and what she's trapped. You know, so yeah. many women feel trapped, and if somebody said, you know, they're going to bite their leg off to get out of the trap, and this is what's happening, and it's condoned. You have the right to do this.
It's huge, and that's one of the reasons women don't talk about it afterwards. It's common. It's legal. It's just a thing to help me get through my life and not have to deal with the inconvenience of having a baby. And it's almost, well, if the women mention it, they're kind of like asked, well, why are you even talking about it? Or you're too sensitive, or you know, you just need to get over it. And that's a lot of the attitudes they're met with when mm-hmm. they initially may try to talk about it.
Yeah.
And so I'm really interested, too, in promoting this post-abortion syndrome to everyone, the general public,
yes.
so people will understand and be more sensitive
Amen.
To the dilemma that women have faced.
Well, we want to hear more about this. We're going to hold you over for the final segment. Stay right where you are. And we're going to take a break at this point, speaking with Dr. Anna Norden, and we're discussing post-abortion syndrome and the trauma of abortion, but hope and help and healing and really an art in her form of being able to kind of diagnose this, see this, and help somebody to call this forth and to get to wrap their arms around this and why we're acting out the way we act out. But I never knew it had to do with this thing and the hope and help and healing that can come once we begin to get in touch with that. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, we are finishing our conversation with Dr. Anna Norden, and you were sharing a little bit about post-abortion syndrome. Why don't you clue our family in with what post-abortion syndrome is?
Post-abortion syndrome is a psychological, emotional aftermath of a lot of mixed emotions, grief and shame and regret and questioning the decision that goes unhealed. It goes unprocessed. So it becomes an unhealed trauma, and it gets pushed down into the psyche, and it's there until it's unlocked by certain factors or things, experiences that a woman might have later in their life. And the symptoms are similar to any trauma. The anger is a big one, defensiveness, depression, anxiety, nightmares is another big one. I remember one patient had a recurring dream of a classroom of children, but one desk was empty, and she didn't equate it to having had the abortion. And then relationship problems, personal, family, friends, inability to connect with people fully, and at work and personal life.
Yeah.
And addictions, a lot of women will go to drink heavily, overeat, become more promiscuous, even want to get more abortions, which is so unfortunate. Yeah. So it's there. There's the symptoms that I'm observing, and then the signs that they're telling me that they're experiencing. So there's the two. But that's basically it in a nutshell.
Yeah. And it gets complicated, grief, when it's unhealed grief, right?
Yeah.
And their pain comes out sideways. And you can just, we deal with post-abortion clients, and they'll come in and they're like zombies. Like, there's no effect of life and living and joy, and they're 22 years old. It's like, where did the lights go? Like, we shouldn't be looking and acting and being like this. And so we want to offer hope and peace.
Hope,
and
compassion,
grace.
Understanding, and a little bit more education before they make that decision.
Dr. Norton, thank you so much for being with us, and thank God you're going to be here with us tomorrow to unpack more fully this post-abortion syndrome and to give us good news of hope and help.
That's
and
my primary motive.
Amen. Amen. There's nothing that the Lord cannot heal, and Mary Magdalene is a great example of that. God's future for you, if you're going through this, that those who have forgiven much will love much. He will help you to be sane and whole and well, being in touch with your past, living in the now, and setting your face towards a good future, and possibly even being part of the healing for others. Mm-hmm. You're an important part of this EW10 family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.